You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Let's talk film. Josh has got a film blog. It's called filmology.com with a PH. He also broadcasts on another place that we shall not mention. We're going to be talking about comic duos, two fantastic, funny people who are good together. If you've got a favourite film, a favourite Hollywood, Australian, a couple of actors who are great and funny on film, we'd love to hear from you. 1300 222 774 is the phone number. So we're talking about comic films, Josh, or I guess comic duos, because of The Trip to Italy. Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, they're back.
They are back. Yes, this film opened yesterday, 4 years since the first trip, where they tackle the Lakes District in the UK. They eat, they impersonate each other, they impersonate people like Michael Caine, and they eat wonderful food, and then they riff on celebrity. One of the things I loved about the original Trip, it's from Michael Winterbottom, who's a really accomplished director,
and he's extraordinary.
I think some people wrote the Trip off as a bit of frivolity, a bit of kind of fun, a bit of kind of sort of two actors just joking it up for the sake of it. But what I really liked about that first film was its play on celebrity. The fact that you have two actors who are clearly playing versions of themselves and all the kind of interlayers, but you know, that go along with that. This one does something quite similar, and I think if you've just seen the trailer, all you're going to get is a sense of this is going to be food and frivolity again.
Well, look, let's have a little listen to the trailer, and then Josh will peel back the layers for us.
Steve, it's Rob.
Oh, hey.
Listen, The Observer wants us to do more restaurant reviews.
Really?
But this time in Italy, and they'll fly you to Europe.
Well, first class. It just feels odd doing something for the second time.
They go and make another.
It's okay, it's just doing an impersonation.
That's fantastic.
You know what will make this perfect now? Michael Bublé. Where do you stand on Michael Bublé?
His windpipe.
It's funny, isn't it? When women that age just look straight through us, don't they?
Non-threatening.
The smile you get from them is the smile they give to a benevolent uncle.
Ciao, buonasera.
Buonasera.
Or a pest. A small man in the box.
This is a real man who died. I wonder if anyone cried for him.
I can see the volcano erupting and I am petrified.
I'm already laughing. I'd heard the Michael Bublé joke this week and I'd repeated it gleefully. I didn't realise it came from the trailer. That's fantastic.
It is. And look, it's a very funny film too. But the thing I wasn't ready for and the thing I was worried about was it just going to be a retread. You know, different. It's like The Hangover 2. Let's just go to a different country and do the same old shtick. This one is a little bit different. It has clearly some crossover with the first one. The Al Pacino impersonation comes out. The Michael Caine one, but this one it goes into The Dark Knight Rises and we get a very funny riff on Tom Hardy and Christian Bale's incomprehensible accents in that film.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I was in just hysterics. But there's a real sort of dark underside to this film. It's a really melancholic tone because you get the emphasis here goes from the celebrity to, I guess, the male midlife crisis. So riffing on things like talent, celebrity, fame, women, infidelity. And at quite moments, it's really melancholic, really quite poignant and somber. And I wasn't expecting that. So from Winterbottom to carry off a film where you have Coogan and Brydon riffing off their personas, again, that same sort of stuff. But this sort of, almost this level of sadness and this curious, given the setting of Italy, I think, works in a really nice way.
Because it's beautiful.
Well, it is stunning and it is beautiful, and they're talking a lot about film history. So every time they go to a different place, either the guide or they start talking about Hollywood actors who filmed here in the heyday of the 50s, and everything seems to be about nostalgia. Like they go to Pompeii, that's where you hear the small man and the man in the small box, and they go through catacombs. So there's sort of death, mortality and nostalgia that overlays through everything. So it's not just a wonderful food trip, which it is, and don't go in with an empty stomach, which I made the mistake of.
Right,
15 minutes in, it's like, oh my God, those prawns look amazing. So yeah, I think this is another really clever film. And of course, the film acknowledges, and you heard it there in the trailer, the sequel's never as good, like we talked about with The Muppets a few weeks ago. But I think this one actually pushes the idea of what Winterbottom's getting at with these two characters to a level that the first one really didn't get to. So I was really impressed by this film.
Okay. Josh liked it. Let me know. Ooh, so a shocker of a movie. Couldn't wait for it to end, says one texter. But still, look, I'd love to know what you make of the best comic duo. I'll ask Josh in a moment. But your favourite on-screen duo, Raph, best comedy duo ever, Bubby and Bad Boy.
So that
Every week. Leno and Woodley, tops, says Matt in Mornington. Yep, they're a good screen double. Like them. Martin and Lewis, Crosby and Hope, Hepburn and Tracy. Are there others? Says Alan in St Kilda. Love it. Look, 1300 222 774. If you've got a favourite comic pairing on screen, we'd love to hear your ideas. Trip to Italy is the film. Have you got a favourite, Josh?
Comic duo.
Yeah.
Growing up, I would have said Abbott and Costello.
Oh, really? Yeah, I watched
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Frankenstein, Abbott and Costello Meet the Wolfman. Recently, I'm a sucker for Simon Pegg and Nick Frost in the Cornetto trilogy.
Yes.
But I think someone has to mention Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Oh,
Stir
yes.
Crazy,
yes.
Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Yes,
those
I like that.
Great.
I think my favourite, though, is Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, look,
the
moments in Zoolander, I can't actually think of a greater comic pairing in the last sort of 10 or 15 years. I mean, there's been lots of good films, but in terms of people bouncing off each other and those scenes in Owen Wilson's apartment where they've got Ben Stiller's slowly seducing the woman, and it's just hysterical.
Oh, Starsky and Hutch, yeah.
Yeah, Starsky and Hutch.
Wonderful in that, yeah, fantastic.
I just love that chemistry on screen. So, look, if you've got a good comic pairing, I'd love to hear from you. 1300-222-774. Abbott and Costello? Don't remember them being that funny. They did...
I was a kid.
Who's on first, didn't they? That's them.
They did, yeah.
And that's good.
It's that physical brand of humour that we saw, like the Three Stooges, Marx Brothers to a little degree. That era was kind of nice.
Laurel and Hardy? Do you like Laurel and Hardy?
That seemed to pass me by, Laurel and
Hardy. You never watched Laurel and Hardy?
Not really. Oh. Actually, thinking of... we should mention some female comic duos instead of just all the males. Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy in The Heat. It's a film I didn't review, but I thought it was really impressive.
McCarthy's pretty funny.
But Bullock was the one who really impressed me in that. Mm. I think her comic chops are pretty good.
By the way, we mentioned Abbott and Costello. Who's on first? Do you remember this?
What do you want, Costello?
Abbott, I understand that you're going to be the manager of the Lou Costello Jr. Youth Foundation baseball team.
Yes, we just organized the thing.
Oh, you did?
Sure.
Well, I'd like to play on the team myself. You know, I know something about baseball.
Well, that would be accomplished.
Well, I'd like to know some of the guys' names on the team, so when I meet them on the street or in the ballpark, I'll be able to say hello to them.
Why, surely I'll introduce you to the boys. But you know, strange as it may seem, they give these ballplayers nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Nicknames, pet names, like Dizzy Dean.
Brother Daffy?
Daffy Dean. And
I'm their French cousin.
French cousin?
Gouffet.
Gouffet. Well, now, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
What silly name? I say who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
Have you got a first baseman?
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Now tell me who's on first.
That's right.
I want to know what's the guy's name on first
base. No, what's on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
That is really, really very, very clever stuff.
And it sounds a lot like Joe Pesci in a Martin Scorsese film.
It does. Oh, what about Laurie and Fry? Come on. Yes. Says Donna from North. How could we neglect? Someone else texting in, Keanu Reeves and the bus. Which is quite clever. I like that. Ray's call from Altona. Hey, Ray.
Hey, Ralph. Hey, Josh. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. I'm thinking particularly Step Brothers.
Yes. No, very... John C. Reilly, absolutely. Hold on, actually, I think we've got a bit of John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. Let's have a listen.
Where are you going? I'm going upstairs. Because I'm going to put my nuts hat on your drum set. Okay? Do that. I am warning you right now, if you touch my drum, I will stab you in the neck with a knife. Ian, go in the room. I will go take shit.
Go in this spot.
Josh can't sort of contain himself. Sorry, probably should have given you a language warning for that one, but still, gold.
It's absolute such a good
gold.
Film.
Well, that's very, very good. Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan is someone else's nomination, maybe. Morticia and Gomez, yes, great comic pairing. The two Ronnies weren't bad, indeed. Elle is nominating Mel Gibson and Danny Glover from the Lethal Weapon films. Very nice, very nice. And Michael Caine and Steve Martin in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, wonderful pairing.
Yeah, they're actually pretty, they're pretty damn funny. Look, we are going to talk about another film called The Babadook. It's horror, I think. But I do want to keep on getting your comic nominations. And so let's squeeze in one more. Oh, John from Albert Park is going to relive the best parts of my teenagerhood. Hi, John.
Dudley Moore and Peter Cook. And dare I say it, Derek and Clive.
Yes, I don't think there's any of Derek and Clive we could play on the radio, actually.
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's classic stuff.
It is classic stuff. Oh, there's nothing we can play, John, but thank you very much for reminding me of it all. If you don't know, if you just Google a bit of Dudley Moore and Peter Cook. Fantastic. We'll be back with more film in a moment. If you've got any more comic duos, let me know. 1300-222-774.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Lots of great nominations, including Lucia Ball and Desi Arnaz, Roy and H.G., Hoags and Strop, 1300 222 774. Josh Nelson's with me. We've been talking about the trip to Italy with Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon. So your favourite comic duos. I've got another I want to play, and that is, of course, I can't believe we haven't mentioned this one, from The Office, Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant.
Jimmy the Purr and the Ogg Monster.
Oh, bloody hell. What's the weather like up there?
Oh, I've heard that before.
The parents put you in a grow bag when you were little, did they?
That's an old one.
Let's grow ourselves a big, lanky, goggle-eyed freak.
All right,
son.
Calm down, mate. Doesn't need to get offensive.
No, I was joining in.
They call you fatty as soon as
I saw
you.
I was joining in.
Don't have a go at the eyes, because that is a stigmatism that I've had from the age of 5. So that's what makes them a bit bulbous. So don't just... I didn't call you, like, Whale Man or the Blubber Man.
No, but I don't go around calling myself the Mong Boy.
Well, I don't either. I call myself the Ogg Monster.
I'm not going to call you the Ogg Monster.
Well, that's my name, isn't
it? No, it's not. What's your real name?
Nathan.
It's a good name.
Is it?
Yes. I call you Nathan.
I didn't call you Face.
What's the matter with him?
Oh, there's just a deep, deep social disease running beneath the office, isn't there, Josh? Oh, that just kind of hurts, but it's incredibly funny. Look, we'll talk about the horror film in a tick. Let's give Christine a chance in Bundoora. Hi, Christine.
Yeah, hi. How are you going?
Good. What's yours?
John Candy and Steve Martin in Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Indeed, yes. But mind you, either of them with anyone else, they're still fantastically funny. They're both funny men.
Exactly. You're going the wrong way.
Christine basically sums up my show this afternoon.
That film actually really holds up. If people are wondering...
I watched it
in New York for Thanksgiving last year. It's great.
Hi, this is Car. What car are we? 5-5. We're in a truck.
John Candy, what a loss.
The Babadook. What's The Babadook?
The Babadook is a new Australian horror film from actor-turned-writer-director Jennifer Kent. I think this is her debut feature. We have Essie Davis as a sort of a traumatised mother who's working in elderly care. She's a single parent.
Essie Davis I can't remember the name of the Miss...
The Murder Mysteries one.
Yes, what's a Miss... Oh, the name's just totally gone out of my head. That's terrible. Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
Well done, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
She has a young son who is equally traumatised and has an obsession with violence and monsters and being a magician. So she's struggling a bit, and coming up towards the anniversary of her husband, his father's death, the dark presence of the Babadook starts to emerge, which is a sort of a supernatural force. So at least that's the impression that we're given at the beginning of the film.
Let's have a little listen to the trailer.
All children see monsters.
Not like these.
I want to report someone stalking me and my child.
You can't get rid of the Babadook.
You can bring me the boy. You can bring me the boy.
I'm scared already. I don't even know what's going on. I'm worried. So my stomach's churning. It sounds genuinely scary.
The opening build is really decent. And what this film does right is the technical side of things. Like, it's visually, the cinematography is really atmospheric, the production design. There's a really fascinating editing too. You know how they often truncate scenes in horror films to kind of build suspense? They use that technique or that strategy in really banal kind of domestic scenes as well. So there's this curious kind of scattershot approach almost in the opening sequences. And, you know, there's a moment
in this
film...
So you don't know when the bad stuff's coming.
And also an ambiguity in terms of what the Babadook is. Is it actually a supernatural presence? Is it their kind of either one or the mother or child's madness being sort of projected outwards? Is it a kind of guilt about something from their past? And when the film is operating on that level of the ambiguity, it's really effective. But there's a certain point where the Babadook's revealed, and I just feel like it sort of gives away too much too early, and then leaves the film with not really a clear direction. And then we start seeing the film trying to riff off, either deliberately or self-consciously or unconsciously, a series of other sort of horror films, from, say, Polanski's Repulsion to Poltergeist to The Exorcist to Evil Dead, you know, stylistically and thematically. And the film seems to be torn in too many directions and loses that really nice dramatic build that it had at the start. So look, this is a worthy film. It's a decent film. It's technically really great, but I felt like there's a little bit of incoherence that sort of creeps in the latter stages that maybe loses some of the effect of that early menace. But look, really, a really interesting film, and performances from the mother and son here are quite good. The kid, who has one of the best screams I've heard for a long time,
right,
is really annoying, and he's really fantastic in this film.
Okay, so that is The Babadook. Is that on wide release, Babadook?
Slightly limited release, so okay. Maybe some Palace Cinemas, the Cinema Nova, sure. And so on.
And The Trip to Italy?
Yeah, similar sort of limited okay. release.
Josh Nelson's with me. The blog is filmology.com. Just want to go through a few more of your great comic pairings. Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore with The Wedding Singer, and particularly 51st Dates. I tell you what, there are some scathing reviews of their latest pairing, but still...
Blended.
Well, someone wrote a half-sentence review. That was all they could be bothered writing.
That's a half-sentence more than I'll be reviewing it.
Well, exactly. Pat's called from Drysdale, though. Hi, Pat.
Hey, g'day, mate. How are you?
Good. Who are your comic pairing?
Mike Myers and Dana Carberry. Wayne's World.
Foxy. There's only two. There's two Wayne's Worlds or three?
Yeah, there's. I don't know.
There's two.
I know there's two. I've seen two.
When was the last time you watched it, Pat?
I actually just watched it the other day.
Still hold up well?
Yeah, still holds up well.
Still holds up well. Love it. Yeah, actually, I reckon that's the best of Mike Myers. Very big fan of Wayne's World. Other.
No, he's trotting out another Austin Powers because he hasn't had a decent film for a long time, which is a bit of a shame.
Wouldn't even bother. Nope. Just a few more of your texts. I'm enjoying, Spike Milligan and Harry Secombe from The Goons, although you have to count all of them, but still, yes, love it. Mentioning Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, who we did mention. Two guys who don't like each other, Chevy Chase and Bill Murray in Caddyshack. That's from Troy and Point Cook. Did they not like each other?
I'm hearing this a bit. Chevy seems to have a bit of a reputation for being difficult on set.
Okay, there you go. Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss in What About Bob? How about Mike Myers and Seth Green as Dr. Evil and Scotty? Yep, that actually works. That is one duo that works. And also someone mentioning Sid James. Sid James and Tony Hancock. I don't know that I ever saw Sid James and Tony Hancock together. You never saw Sid James.
No, I'm drawing
Carry on,
man. Yeah, right.
Josh is... Okay.
Shame file just
I
came out.
I am clearly showing off my age. That's okay. And Steve's calling from Parkdale with another comic duo.
Stephen.
Sorry, Stephen. Go for it.
No problem. De Niro and Billy Crystal in Analyze This and Analyze That.
Oh, indeed. In fact, Robert De Niro and Charles Grodin in Midnight Run.
Midnight Run, yeah, brilliant.
That is a great film.
Very underrated.
And Analyze This and Analyze That. They're good. Now, did they come out?
Funny films, yeah.
Did they come out the same time as The Sopranos?
Long before, yeah. Late 90s, 97, 98, I think. Analyze This, yeah. Mm. Harold Ramis directed it. The first one, at least the first one, may have been both of them.
He did too. Hey, look, Stephen, thank you. Like that suggestion as well. Thank you for all of your texts. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Filmology.com is the blog. It's spelt with a PH.